Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Psalms chapter 119 is where we're at this evening. Now we're going to be looking at section 129, verses 129 through 136. And you'll see the word P-E, that's pay. That's how that's pronounced according to my alphabet pronouncer that I got on the internet. It's translated pay. So that's the pay section. And what we're going to do with this section, I'm going to begin by asking you a question tonight. And the question I want to ask you is, how do you feel? Now, I want you to not answer out loud, but I want you to think about what I'm asking you. I want you to answer it in your heart. How do you feel about the Word of God? How do you personally? Now, I'm not asking you how you ought to feel. Everybody knows how you ought to feel. But how do you personally feel about the Word of God? Now, I think how you respond to that is a good indicator, just a real good indicator of your spiritual health. How you feel about the Word of God is a good indicator of your spiritual health. So what I'm going to do with this section is I'm going to give you four signs of spiritual health, of good spiritual health. Four signs of good spiritual health, and I'm going to use this pay section to show you that. Then when the time we're done, we look back, you can see whether you are indeed healthy spiritually. Now, there are some people that are not healthy spiritually. They're just not very close to the Lord, and they're not doing the things that they need to be, and so on and on. But we're going to look at four signs in this text of spiritual health. Are you ready to begin? Let's go ahead and begin at verse 129. It says, thy testimonies. Now, the word testimonies is just another way of stating the Word of God. Stating the Word of God. It says, thy testimonies are what? Wonderful. Now, the first sign of spiritual health is you have a high regard for the Word of God. And do you have a high regard for the Word of God? Now, certainly he did. The writer, which most think was David, had a very high regard for the Word of God. He says, thy testimonies, thy Word is wonderful. And I pray that tonight, as if I'm looking at you and you're thinking about, I hope you're thinking about what I'm preaching on, I pray that as you look at yourself, is the Word of God wonderful to you? What would you describe as wonderful? Well, what he described as wonderful was the Word. Would you describe it as wonderful? Have you ever talked about, sometimes people talk about churches and they say, oh, that's a wonderful church. Well, what's a wonderful church to you? What is a wonderful church? Well, a wonderful church is where they teach the wonderful Word. A church may have a lot of programs and have bands and money and all the different things that people sometimes label as being wonderful. But my friend, if a church doesn't teach the Word of God, it's not wonderful. So he regarded the Word of God in the text as wonderful. Now, what's so wonderful about the Word? Well, let's look down a little bit and we'll give you two reasons here just in the text why he says the Word of God is wonderful. Now, we could think of reasons all night long why the Word of God is wonderful, wouldn't we? Shows us how to be saved. It comforts us. We could go through 119 and show you all the different blessings. Matter of fact, Psalms 119, we entitled the Wonder of the Word. And we could show you all those different wonders, but we're not going to do that. We'll just stay in the pay section and just show you from the section just a couple reasons why it's wonderful. Look down, it says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. The Word of God giveth light. And that's another reason why, or that is one reason why the Word of God is wonderful, is it gives light. As a matter of fact, when we look back at 105, you'll remember it says, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God lights the way to heaven, doesn't it? The Word of God reveals to you how to live in such a fashion as to please the Lord. The Word of God brings comfort to you whenever you're in affliction. We go on and on. The Word of God is a light. But there's something I want you to notice. It says, the entrance of thy words gives light. The word entrance, if you look it up, it means the opening. The opening of thy words gives light. Now, the Word of God is like the sun that's a-shining all the time, isn't it? But there's one big problem. Men are blinded and they can't see it. So what do they have to have? They have to have their minds what? Opened. You know, someone that's blind can go outside and they can feel the sun on their face, but they can't see the light of it. And that's the way the Word of God is. It's shining always. The light of the Word shining as people preach and as you teach and as you witness, the Word of God shining, but they can't see it. What has to happen? Well, there has to be an entrance of the Word. There has to be an opening of the mind so that the person can see and understand what the Word of God says. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. That's not something that I can do. I prepare my hours and hours and hours and hours to prepare messages for you. But I do realize you understanding, you seeing what I'm saying, is not dependent upon me. I prepare like it's dependent upon me. But when I come behind this pulpit, I depend on the Holy Spirit to give you an opening, to open your understanding, to open the eyes of your understanding. And we've seen that earlier in the chapter when we looked at another time where he opens. Open thou my eyes, he said. I believe it's verse 15. See if I can find it here real fast. Open thou my eyes. Verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. That should be a prayer every time we come to church. Do you agree? So coming to church isn't just a show up. We're coming, Lord, open my eyes. Show me. Open my eyes. Open my mind so I can see and learn your word. So when the word of God enters, when there's an opening of the mind, then the Word of God gives what? It gives you light. And you see what it says. You see what it says. Sometimes people come and say, Jeff, I see what it says. Well, what happened? The Word had an entrance. The Lord opens your understanding. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's why you got to pray before you come. That's why you lift up your voice for the Lord to speak to you through the Word as you hear it preached, but also as you study it yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice what it says in verse 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? That are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So the gospel lights are shining, but can they see it? No, they can't. They have to have an entrance. The Word has to have an opening. And who opens that up? The Holy Spirit does. He opens the mind, and then they can see the light. What was it the writer of Amazing Grace said? I once was blind, but now I see. Okay, let's look on down in the text. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. People say that all the time. They'll come in church, they'll sit under a real hot gospel message, or they'll sit under a message about heaven and about hell and how people need to be saved, and people say, well, I don't know how they can walk in and hear that and walk out and be lost. Well, I can tell you why that is. They're blinded. And the only reason you saw is there was an opening of your mind. When you read in the Scripture, for instance, we're going to do this text at another time, Acts chapter 16, when it talks about Lydia, the seller of purple, it says that God did what? He opened her heart. And when you're talking about the heart, you're also talking about the mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So he has to get, there has to be an opening of the Word to your mind. So you were blind. You were dead, you know. And then what happened? Notice what it says in verse 6. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, he commanded the light to shine in darkness back in the book of Genesis chapter 1, did he not? And he said, let there be light. But you know another time he did it? The day he saved my soul. He shined in my heart. There was an opening of the Word in my soul, and I understood. Why was that? Because he opened my eyes. He gave me, and I seen the light. Isn't that what we like to say? I saw the light. So the Word of God is wonderful because it gives light. But in order to see it, there has to be an opening of it. See? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, preachers can't do that. And neither can you. All we can do is teach it and tell it and share it, which is our job. And then the Holy Spirit does what? He'll take it and he'll open the mind. And when the mind is open and the heart is open, they'll what? They'll see. And they'll say, I can't believe I never saw this. Well, you didn't see it because you was blinded before. Do you remember when you was blinded? Can you say, like the writer of Amazing, I once was blind, but now I see. So there has to be an opening up. I wanted to show you that. That was all free. But let's go ahead and go back to our text. Four signs of spiritual health. What's the first one? A high regard. A high regard for the Word. Do you have a high regard for it? It gives you light. It directs the path on how you should live and how you should walk and what you should do. See, it gives you light. That's why it's so wonderful. What's another reason why it's wonderful? Back to our text in Psalms 119. What else does it do? Oh, I love this one. I can really relate to this one. Look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words gives light. That's one reason why it's wonderful. But the second reason, it gives understanding to the simple. I've always regarded myself as rather simple. But the Word of God gives you understanding. It makes wise the simple. You can get an old simple man, and you can instruct them in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can instruct them in the Word of God, and they can take in the Word of God, and they can be truly wiser than the most highly degreed college professor. Have more actual wisdom. So the Word of God makes wise. It makes wise the simple. That's another reason why it's so great. It'll make you wise if you get into it. Notice back a little bit, I broke down a verse here I want to read to you again. Look back at verse 98. We looked at this in the past, just a few weeks ago. Listen what the writer says. I have more understanding in all than all my teachers. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Now, why is that? For your testimonies are my meditation. He kept the Word of God in his mind and thought about it and thought about it. He said, now I have more understanding than all my teachers do. Because the Word of God gives understanding, wisdom to the simple. Look at verse 100. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I keep thy precepts. So why? What's so great about the Word of God? It gives light, but it also gives wisdom. It gives wisdom. And it makes wise the simple. Let's go back to our text now. Let's get the second reason. You got the first one. I pray that you have a high regard for the Word of God. This psalmist considered it wonderful. And folks, if I got to where I couldn't preach, I would love to sit and hear it. And I would love to sit and read it. You should have a high regard for the Word. Now, if you do have a high regard for it, if it is wonderful to you, then again, the people around you will know that. The people around you will know that. So, I pray that they do. Let's go ahead and go to the second one. Four signs of spiritual health. The second one, let us down into let's begin at verse 131. It says, I opened my mouth and I panted. I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for thy commandments. The second sign of spiritual health, what's the first one? A high regard for the Word. What's the second one? A desire for the Word. a desire for the Word. Now, if you're spiritually healthy, then you will also have a healthy appetite for the Word of God. Do you agree with that? If you're healthy spiritually, then you'll have a healthy appetite for the Word of God. You'll have a desire for it. You'll have a desire. You'll want to hear it. Or you'll want to read it. You can't hide a desire for the Word. Now, you see where he says, I long for thy commandments. He longed for the Word. Oh, do you ever get up in the morning and just long to sit down with the Scriptures for about an hour or two or whatever time you can? You ever get up on Sunday mornings and long to come to God's house so you can hear the Sunday school lesson, so you can hear the message that morning, so you can come to church that night on Wednesday? You long for it. Oh, God's people need to have a longing for the Word. And he said he panted. Not only did he have a longing for it, but he panted after it. He said the same thing. We've seen this in the past. Look at Psalms 42. You'll see a similar phrase for it. Do you have a desire for the Word? Do you have a desire for it? That's a sign of spiritual health. Not only having a high regard for it is a sign of spiritual health, but having a desire for it is a sign of spiritual health. I've said this so many times, I've worn it out. When someone loses their appetite, it's a sign of sickness. And we all know that. You go to the doctor and you're not feeling good, and one of the first things that you, hey, how's your appetite? Well, I don't want to have an ache for 2 or 3 days. That very rarely ever happens to me. I have an ache for 2 or 3 days. They'll go, well, you're sick. So, yeah, a loss of desire for food, physical food, is a sign of sickness. Do you agree? But, you know, you take your medicine and maybe you go back and they say, well, your appetite? Yeah, my appetite's back. I'm back. Well, you're better. That's a sign of physical health. Well, a desire for the Word is a sign of spiritual health. And a loss of that desire is a sign of sickness. It's a sign that there's something wrong. Do you agree? Psalm 42 says, as a hart, what's a hart? It's a deer. As a deer pants after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. You ever thirsted for the Lord? Now, this is an intense thirst for the living God. And that's what he had. He had a desire. And that's what he's describing in Psalms 119. He had a longing, a panting, a thirst for the Word. That's what he had. And that's, of course, a sign of spiritual health. Let's go ahead and go back to Psalms 119. Now, if you have a desire for the Word, what does that do? That'll evidence itself on it. Now, every one of us knows we need to desire the Word, don't we not? I mean, there's not a person here tonight that doesn't know that we need to desire it. 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye might do what? Grow. You want to grow as a Christian. You know, you think of a little baby. You know, little babies are pretty, cute, and all that. But they can't do a whole lot, can they? I mean, they can't run a wheelbarrow, and they can't build anything. They can't clean the house. They can't do a whole lot, can they? As they eat, what happens to them? They start growing. And you know, as they grow, they can do more. They can be more productive. They can do more things. Well, the same thing is true spiritually. A baby in Christ is just taking in the Word, and it's what they should do. And as they take in the Word, you know what's going to happen? They're going to grow. And they're going to grow. And as they grow, guess what? They're going to be able to do more. They're going to be able to witness to people. They might be able to teach class one day. They may be better able to instruct their children in the things of God. As they grow, that's why you want to grow as a Christian, so you can do more in the work. See, a babe can't do as much as someone that's more mature in the Word. So you have to desire the Word. Now, do you have a desire for the Word? Well, if it does, as I said, it'll evidence itself. And it'll evidence itself by reading it. Now, we know we need to read our Bible every day. I'm not going to wear that out. We all do need to do that. We started that, remember, in January. wanting to have a closer walk with God in 2009 than we did in 2008. And if we're going to have that, then we have to have more of the Word. If you get less of the Word, your walk's not going to be as close. As a matter of fact, when you're not getting the Word, look what happens to you. Does everybody in the house know what happens to you when you get unplugged from the Word? You become more worldly. You become more fleshy. That's the reason why one of the things the old devil tries to do after you're saved, he tries to do everything in the world to get you away from hearing this and get you away from reading it. And you know how he'll do it? He tries to kill your desire for it. He tries to hit it right there at the source. If you lose your desire for the Word, then guess what? It don't make any difference how many times a preacher says you need to read the Word. You won't read it unless you want to, unless you have a desire to. And when you lose your desire for it, then you won't read it. You won't read it. If you have a desire for the Word, you're going to want to come and hear it taught. You have great opportunity to hear the Word here, I believe. You got Sunday school. Got a great teacher in Sunday school. Of course, I usually do subjects on Sunday morning, and then I usually teach through a book on Sundays. Sunday nights, teach through a book on Wednesdays. Got a radio broadcast you listen to. If you miss a service, you can even get a copy of the CD. Think about that, Brother Mike. How much of an opportunity that is to get the Word. Got a school on Tuesday nights if you want to get more study there. That's a lot of the Word, isn't it? See? That's a lot of the Word. But if you have a desire for it, then you'll want to read it. And if you have a desire for it, you'll want to come and hear it taught. But if you lose your desire for it, then you won't. And there's always a good, convenient excuse to give why you don't. And I've heard every excuse in the world. I have heard, in 28 years, I've heard them all. So I really ain't much interested in hearing excuses anymore. If a person has a desire for the Word, they'll come and hear it. Do you agree with that? See, that's the root cause. Well, we need to overcome that desire and give a bike away to get people to come. Or start entertaining to get people to come. No way. We need to preach and pray that the Holy Spirit would give them a desire to hear the Word. When they have a desire, guess what's going to happen when they have a desire? They'll come. They'll wait to get here. Can you remember? Can you remember, and I pray you still remember, and I'm praying for you now. Can you remember a time in your life when you couldn't wait for the next service to come? I just want to ask you that. Can you remember a time in your life where you couldn't wait till the next service to roll around? You wished it was 7 days a week. That's a sign of spiritual health. And you had a desire for it. What happened to that? What happened to that? Well, you're here on Wednesdays. Most generally, nobody comes on Wednesdays. I mean, most people don't come on Wednesdays anymore to churches. They really don't. There's churches that have 500 on Sunday mornings and have 40 people on Wednesday nights. Well, when you have a desire for it, you'll come. Now, what you have to do is if you've lost your desire for it, you know that. If you have, you have to ask the Lord to kindle that back. Lord, you have to be honest with the Master. Master, I don't have the desire that I did when I was first saved. I've lost that. I've drifted. My desire is not what it once was. I've left my first love, so to speak. And my desire for the Word is not. You need to ask the Lord to rekindle that in you. Well, you think nobody can get your fire going like the Holy Spirit can. And He can get that going again. You repent of that. You get back starting reading the Word every day. And coming and hear it. Every opportunity to have to hear it. Okay? Now, we're looking at signs, four signs of spiritual health. What's the first one? A high regard for the Word. What's the first one? What's the second one? A desire for the Word is the second one. And if you have a desire for it, you'll read it. And if you have a desire for it, you'll come and listen to it so that you can be taught it. Okay? So, let's go ahead and move to the third sign. You ready for the third sign? It's in verse 132. It says, look to me, look thou for me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Now, there's the third sign of spiritual health with regard to the Word, the third sign of it, and that is a love for the Word. You say, well, Jeff, it says a love for His name. Well, you can't love the Lord's name without loving His Word, and you can't love the Word without loving His name. Those two absolutely go together. Jesus said, if ye love me, then keep my commandments. Do the things that I ask you to do. So the third is there needs to be a love for the Word. Can I ask you a question? I asked you, did you think the Word was wonderful? But do you love it? Now, I know everybody knows you should love it. Sometimes we answer it like we know we should. But I'm just asking you, do you love it? Do you love it? And your time will show whether you love it. Your time in it or hearing it will show whether you love it or not, to be honest with you. But whether you obey it is another way you see whether you love it or not. But do you love it? Now, you should love the Word. When I go on vacation, you know, and I've told you this in the past, and I'm looking for a church, and I'll try to find, well, I'd find a Baptist church, unless I can't find one. But I'll go to church, and you know what I'm waiting here? Give me the Word. I want to hear the Word. And I remember I went to church one time, and this is fine, and I come in. I didn't tell them, I don't like for them to find out I'm a preacher, because then they'll have me preach sometimes. I'm on vacation. Now, I'll preach at a drop of a hat if they ask me to, but I've actually had that happen. I just want to sit and listen, you know, and worship. And I'm sitting there, and they come, and they said, would you like to pray with us? Well, yeah, I'd like to pray. And went back and prayed with all the men. We all went and prayed, and then they come out, and after that was done, went to the lesson, and 15 minutes it was done. I was starving plumb to death. I wanted to hear, love the Scriptures, love the Word, love prayer, love to pray, but I love the Word of God. Now, I want you to notice how many times, I want you to run a quick check with me. I want you to know, if you go back to verse 47, I want you to notice how many times this is mentioned in Psalms 119. I'm going to read them to you to put an emphasis on it. Man, you need to love the Word. You need to hold it in high regard. You need to desire it. You need to love it. Okay? Verse 47, it says, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Said he loved God's commandments. Verse 48, my hands also will lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. He said it again. In verse 48, he said he loved his commands. Look down at verse 97. Some of these we read here recently. Look at verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. See, it is my meditation all the day. Look down at verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Here, you see how many times he says it? Verse 119. Let's see. That's not the right one. Verse 127. Let's move on to another one. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. So you can see over and over and over again, the writer says he loves the Word. And remember, I asked you the question, do you love it? Do you love it? Now, of course, if you love it, then you're going to spend time in it, like we've already established under a desire. But if you really love it, you're going to seek to obey it. Love for the Word is not just in the hearing of the Word, but it's also in the doing of the Word. Love for the Word is not only shown for the hearing of the Word, but it's also shown in the doing of the Word. Those that seek to keep the Word is the ones that love it. Those that don't care to disobey the Word is those that do not love it. When King David committed adultery, one of the things the Lord said unto him through Nathan was that you have despised the commandment of God. And you've despised me. You see, when you love the Word, you seek to do what it says. Do you agree? We don't always do what it says. I'd like to do it all the time, 100%. But you'll seek to obey it. Notice what it says here in Psalms 119. Let's look on down verse 134. Or verse 133 and 134. I'm sorry, 132 and 133. I just want to get it all in at one time. It says, "Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." You know, if you love the word, then you're not going to want sin to have dominion over you. Sin was dethroned the day that you were saved. Do you agree? You're under a new master now. But I'm going to tell you, it scratches and claws to try to get itself right back up on top again. It really does. He says, don't let sin have dominion over me. If you love the word of God, then you want to obey it. You want to obey the commands, and you don't want to sin against your God. Can sin get dominion over you? You can get it sure can get a foothold in your life. It did in David's. If it happened to David, it can happen to you. He was a man after God's own heart, and iniquity began to take dominion in his life. You see his prayer there? Let it not have dominion. A love for the Lord is shown by obeying it. Secondly, a love for the Lord is also shown. Look at verse 134. Deliver me from oppression of a man, so I will keep thy precepts. You seek to keep it. You seek to obey it. You seek to keep what it says. That's how you show you love the word. You want to learn what it has to say. You desire for the Lord to teach you. Notice what it says in 135. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Teach me thy statutes. You want to obey it, but you also want to learn it. You want to learn it so you can obey it. That's how you show you love them. That's how you show you love the Word. You think back over your life and you think about those old saints of God that loved the Lord and they loved the Word of God. You know what you see as a habit in their life? They sought to obey it. They sought to keep it. And they had a desire to learn it all their days. See, you should too. All right, you got the first three? We're looking at signs of spiritual health. What's the first sign? A high regard for the Word. What's the second? A desire for it. What's the third sign? A love for it. How you show you love it? By obeying it. Remember again, if you love me, keep my commandments. I love the text in Ezekiel. Yeah, I've wore it out, but let's go ahead and turn there. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Let me give you this before I move on to the last thing. And we'll close with a good prayer tonight. And I've read this to you many times in the past. And I think here's what you have in a lot of churches. And it can be true here too. Here's what you have a lot of times in a lot of churches. Here's what it is. In verse 30 it says, "Also thou son of man," Ezekiel 33:30, "the children of the people are still talking against thee or about thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." Now don't that sound good? I mean, things were really looking like they was going good. I mean, here Ezekiel must have been a decent speaker. And they said, they're talking about you, Ezekiel, and everybody talking to their neighbor saying, come on down and let's hear the word of God. Now, doesn't that sound wonderful? Sounds like they love the word, doesn't it? Well, at the very least, they were paying lip service to the word. Now, let's go ahead and look at the rest of the story. Verse 31. "And they come unto thee as the people cometh. They sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words," but what does it say now? "But they will not do them." They hear my words, but they will not do them. "For with their mouth, they show much love, but their heart goes after covetousness." Did they love the word? They said they loved to come and hear it, didn't they?
But they didn't do it. They never put into practice what was preached by Ezekiel. And he says, with their mouth they show much love, but their heart is going after sin. It's going after covetousness. It says in verse 32, "You are unto them a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice." You're just like singing a song to them, but it has no changing of their heart. In other words, he says, Ezekiel, things aren't as they appear. See? Did they love the word? No, because they didn't obey it. They assembled. They talked good about it. But they didn't do it. You love the word. You seek to do what it says. Not just in public. True love for the word shows itself when nobody else is around but you and God. I'm big on that, aren't you? True love for the word shows itself when there's no one around but you and God. That's what you really are anyhow. So if you love it, you'll seek to obey it. Now let's get the last one in here. And let's go back to Psalms 119. Someone asked you what the preacher preached on tonight. You should know. Four signs of spiritual health. What's the first one? A high regard for the Word of God. What's the second one? A desire. An intense desire, a longing for the Word. What's the third one? A love for the Word. And number four, a burden for the Word. Let's notice at the very last verse, "Rivers of waters run down mine eyes." What is he talking about, rivers of waters? He's weeping. See, poetic language, but he's weeping. "Rivers of water run down my eyes." Why? "Because they keep not thy word." Now, we understand that, do we not? Doesn't it break your heart sometimes when you look at our land and its disrespect and disobedience and lawlessness towards God's word and disregard? Doesn't it just break your heart sometimes? Sometimes when you're sitting there and you got that wisdom box on and you're watching a show and then it says something that is just absolutely the most ungodliest thing you could possibly hear, and it just breaks your heart. You have to get it off there, you know. Oh, you don't realize how much. You know, the television's preaching. Every show sends a message. If you can get this in your mind, what message is this telling me? They send some horrible messages out on a lot of these shows. They really do. And it breaks your heart. Sometimes when you look at the newspaper, it breaks your heart. You see the things that's going on, the disregard for the things of the Lord, the forsaking of the Word. It gives you a burden. But also when you look at those that are in your families, people that you love, and they have no regard for the Word, does it break your heart? Oh my. There ain't a thing in the world with shedding tears over someone that's unsaved. We should never get so hard and dried up that we don't shed tears for people. You know what? That shows a concern, I believe. So as he looked and he seen people that he knew, perhaps that he loved, and they didn't keep his word. They didn't keep God's word. They had no regard for it. It moved him to weep. That's a burden. You know, one thing a church can't do, well, it can, but it can't do this really and be healthy. You can't lose a burden for the lost. Can't lose that. You can't get so high and mighty and so thinking you arrive that you don't, heart don't break for someone to be saved, especially someone that you love. Let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 9. I'm starting to wind down. And Romans chapter 9, I want to look at two verses here. Fourth sign of spiritual health is a burden. Burden for the word. That's a burden for others to receive it. A burden for others to keep it. Oh, my. Boy, I've been here a long time. Sometimes I think too long.
But I'll tell you one thing. Over the years, you can see, you'll see people come in. Brother Mike's been with me about the whole time. Well, you have been with me the whole time. I used to teach him in Sunday school class when I was like 18, wasn't it? Anyhow, see how old Mike is? And man, you see people make professions and they start that race, you know, and they're intense, man. And they come and come and come and they're into it, and then it just seems like they just totally, as fast, it goes away. And they lose their desire for the Word. And they lose their love for the Word. And they lose their regard for the Word. You ever seen it? And it breaks your heart, doesn't it? You think, oh man. It just breaks your heart. And it gives you a burden for them. Romans chapter 9 says, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 2. That I have great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. A great heaviness. That's a burden. Heaviness is a burden. What's his burden over? For I could wish myself were accursed from Christ. That's a tremendous statement. We could preach on that, but we'll let that lay right now. I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Man, that's a strong desire to see someone saved. That's a strong desire to see someone converted to the Lord. The psalm says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Remember the old song, bringing in the sheaves? He that goeth forth and does what? Weepeth. That's a concern. That's a burden for loss. Look at Romans 10. Brother, my heart's desire, my prayer for God, for Israel, is that they might be saved. You see? It's prayer to God. My heart's desire. Romans 9, a continual heaviness for the lost. And we can't lose that. That's also a sign of spiritual health, is it not? A burden for the lost. Burden for those that don't keep God's word. So those are four good signs, I believe, of spiritual health. And they're all related to the word, I believe. Number one, a high regard for the word. Do you have that? Well, if you hold it in high regard, if it's wonderful to you, that's a sign of spiritual health. If something else of the world's more wonderful to you than the word, that tells you all you need to know right there. Nothing as wonderful as the Word. The Word's better than fishing and football and basketball and all that put together, isn't it? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You have a high regard for it. Number two, do you have a desire for it? No, I don't, Jeff. Well, you need to pray that the Lord would put that back in you. But you can lose that desire. You can get so wrapped up in the world that the desire for the hunger kind of drifts into another direction. Number three, a love for it. Love for the word shown by. Seeking to do what it says. And then number four, a burden for the word. It's the fourth sign of spiritual health. A burden to see people keeping it. And a breaking of the heart when you see that it don't. Well, how are you healthy? How's your spiritual health? Those are four good signs of spiritual health. Now, only you and God knows. I know between me and my King whether I'm healthy or not spiritually. You do too. Now, if you look and you're not, then don't waste this time here. The Lord sent you a message. You came at the exact time to hear a message on spiritual health. And it might be because you're sick. And you need to say, Master, my priority list is your way down here, but I want you to be here again. You dedicate your life to the Lord. Get back in His house. Back regularly in His Word.
back around God's people. And you know what you'll see happen? The desire will come. It'll start to grow again. You'll start to grow again. And you'll be healthy. Oh, God's people say it. Let's all stand.